Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and the last time I spoke in Sunday school, I spoke the first from a series from the heart, and today we're going to do the second, and the title is From a Heart That Purposes, and so it's good to see everybody here today. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't expect this cold of weather in Arizona. I had forgotten, I guess. And but, pardon? Yeah. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, let's begin reading with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, that they were willing of themselves, praying with us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Now, Father, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word and our time together. We ask that you'll bless Pastor and Mrs. Storm as they're away, and that your hand would be upon them and your watch care and protection. And bless them and bring them back safely when that time nears. Now we ask that you'd be honored and glorified in this service and the one to follow. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to read us a few verses along the way. We have opportune time to look at maybe a couple of the references. I may request that you turn. But in Psalm 19:4, it says the following: Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, I want you to, like you to think on this. As God works in our heart and we submit to him on a daily basis, we're in the Word, we're asking him to work in our life, as he works in our heart, we begin to realize that there is no such thing as a self-made man, not whatsoever. Not a man or a woman is self-made. I remember my dad, he was he was a proudful person before he got saved. And he started off as a machinist and a tool and die maker at Motorola at the military plant over in Scottsdale, I think about 80th and McDowell, somewhere over in that region. And one day I was over talking to Dad, and we went out fishing. And I was witnessing to him, and he said, I am a self-made man. Everything I've gotten, I've got myself, just like that. And my dad was a manager, got promoted to a management in Motorola, and he oversaw the entire machine shop, all the tool and die makers, and areas that are not known to the public, at least during that time, and that was missile components and different things like that, which now people are aware of. But then he got saved, and we're out fishing again. And he reached over in the boat and put his hand on me, and he said, I think I said something to you a few weeks back that was wrong. He said, I've been thinking about it. He said, I'm not a self-made man. I said, no, Dad, we aren't. And he said, God makes me up. And I never forgot that. He makes me every single day what he wants. And I thought, wow, that is about as good a statement as you possibly could ever come up with, especially from a babe in Christ, my dad. Well, every good thing and every gift is from God. Every single thing. We are the stewards or managers of the blessings, that is, the financial and otherwise, that God bestows upon us and what he gives us. Now, this was the truth in the reading that we read in verse 1 to 7 that the Apostle Paul was teaching in the Corinth church as he encouraged them to participate at this point in a special offering for the church at Jerusalem. And here's a noteworthy thought. The apostle at this time is challenging the local church to purpose, and that's what we're looking at, to purpose in their hearts to be involved. Get involved. Now, there are three things, and we're talking about, as we look at a heart that purposes, we must look at stewardship. And so that is what we'll be looking at today. And there are three things about Christian stewardship. Number one, in the first point of the outline, Christian stewardship begins as growth in grace. Growth in grace. If you would, look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Whenever you see the word grace in the Bible, in the New Testament, there are two major usages for the word grace. Two major things. First of all, we are saved by grace. And that is a result of God's unmerited favor. He doesn't look on anybody different than he does another. We're saved by grace. And we're saved by grace through faith, or we're not saved. Grace comes from God. It is God that does the saving. The second is the usage of grace in the Bible is to live by grace. And that is, we got a little definition I wrote by this. It is a disposition created by the Holy Spirit. And so our life, in a sense, if I could use the phrase, we live in a bubble of God's grace. He protects us, he loves us, he directs us, and he supplies our every need. So it's the carryover and the continuance of being saved by grace. There are two truths about grace. Number one, please look at verse 1 and then verse 7. Paul says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, notice what he says. See that ye abound in this grace also. Saved by grace, yes, the continuance. Service, living by grace. As Paul mentions the grace of God at Macedonia, he is referring, when we look at this, to their generosity, the church at Macedonia. And notice that apart from the Holy Spirit of God, folks, there would not have been an offering given. Have you ever given an offering and it was like the Lord was compelling you in your heart to do that? And have you ever noticed that when that takes place, it and your giving takes place through the vehicle of love, and it is not a, well, I've got to do this because it's just what I have to do. No, it's the Spirit of God working, and we're living by grace. a dad, the story told, I'm not sure if it was true, but in everyday true life, it probably could take place. A dad and mom, they lived pretty close to a local church, the neighborhood church. And it happened to be a gospel preaching. And they were going to go to Sunday school. And the three of them, mom, dad, and their little daughter, started walking. And dad stopped everybody and he said, wait a minute. He looked at his daughter and he gave her two $1 bills. And here's what he said. On the way to Sunday school, he said, one is for God and the other is for ice cream. And boy, I'll tell you, it was said that she giggled. And, you know, what child doesn't like ice cream? Amen. I cannot remember ever turning ice cream down when I was growing up. Well, they were going, she started skipping. I mean, man, she had $2, one for ice cream, just a little tight. And she tripped on one of the seams of the sidewalk, caught her balance, but she dropped the dollars. She reached over and grabbed one. There was a little breeze, and the other dollar blew into the sewer, these things that are right by the curb, if you ever lived in a city where they have those. And it just went right into the storm drain. She got up and she looked, trying to get it, and she looked at the storm drain. And in the presence of dad and mom, here's what she said. Well, Lord, there goes your dollar. Now, keep in mind, she's little. She's really little. And, you know, the smaller the child, the more, you know, until everybody's saved, the more they are influenced by the old nature, you see. Okay. The Macedonian church begged Paul, look at verse 4, to take the offering, preparing us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now, the second thought about grace is grace causes us to look beyond ourselves, beyond it. Notice verse 2 and what it says there. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. There are four things we'll just note real quick. First of all, the church and the churches, because more were started than one by Paul, the churches of Macedonia could have said, we gave last year. You know, why are we going to do that this year? They could have said that. And even in their poverty, the Macedonians gave and their liberality abounded in abundance. And then notice they had affliction, poverty, plus grace. These three items. Now watch. Affliction plus poverty plus grace equals joy and liberality. And that's exactly what it is. So when we look at these buildings, and the more I see the buildings that are here, the more I have to tell you the truth. They're old, but I like them. They're nice. I think they are. They're great. And they show well. But your buildings, our buildings that we have, are not merely just for us, are they? Think on this. It is for children and grandchildren, a bus route, a van route, bus kids, missionaries, weddings, funerals, Easter services, etc. The doors of the church are open for everybody. So we are doing this and making it extensively open in the community because of joy and liberality. And you remember, it comes by affliction, poverty, and grace, all added together. Here's the second point of the outline. Christian stewardship is motivated, but it's motivated by love for God. For God. Look at verse 8, and we'll go beyond our reading. Paul says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion. of the forwardness of others. And look what he says, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, there are two views that we'll look at, and both are true. Both are true. So, first of all, love expresses itself in giving. In verse 8, Paul says to prove the sincerity of your love. Here's a quote, and think on this, and we've heard it before, but let it stick. Let it stick. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You see that? Okay, amen. I'll say it again. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Listen to John 3:16. Happens to be right overlapping into the message in the morning service. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So here's the first view. The second view is this. Love is the highest motivation for giving. The highest. There is no higher. It is the highest. Now look at verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Boy, I'll tell you, praise the Lord. Amen. John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Here is a true-to-life example, true story. Not very long ago, just maybe within the last 4 years, a man visited Washington, D.C., and he walked to the Vietnam War Memorial. And while there, he saw a man in his 40s, and he was wearing a tattered, worn-out field jacket. And that man laid some flowers down and placed his hand out on a name. And as he pointed to the name, here's what he said. 27 years ago, he stepped into the line of fire and saved my life. The least that I can do is remember. Friend gave his life. Jesus gave his life. Amen. For you and I. God wants us to spend our life to give it to him. Give it back. And we give it back and through the second component of grace, and that is living through God's grace. 2,000 years ago, Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords and King of the universe, think of it, we ought to be able to say this ourselves, took my place. He took your place. Amen. And he was our substitute for what we deserved. Now, it was love that caused the woman of ill repute by the name of Mary to break open a costly ointment and wash Jesus' feet. You remember the story. It was love that caused a widow to cast her last one half penny into the treasury as Jesus nearby looked on. Now, someone might ask her, why? When all you have in the middle of another lonely night is the comfort and the compassion of a compassionate God. When you know of a touch that is God's touch, and the only certainty that you have is that God loves you, you could say that she said, that's why I did that. So the answer to our question could very well possibly be the same. Why do we give to God? Why do we serve God? Because we love him. Because It's part of our grace living after we were saved by God's grace. Now, notice that love, again, is the highest motivation for giving. Here's the third point of our outline. Christian stewardship flows out and from a heart that has purpose. Flows out. The door becomes the avenue, you see, of God's grace through our heart and His love flowing out to the lives of others. Now, there are two lasting truths here we'll look at. First of all, we should prepare from the heart. Now, if you wish, you can turn just one chapter over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 5 says this, "Therefore, Paul says, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you," and notice what he says, "and make up beforehand your bounty, wherefore you had notice before, whereof you had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not covetousness." Now, the word bounty in that passage, if you look at the word meaning in the Greek, it means offering. And then notice make up beforehand in that same verse. That's preparation. Now, living by faith is not letting everything happen spontaneously all the time. It is sometimes preparing in advance for what we know that God wants us to do. The second thought is we should purpose from the heart. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. We'll read two verses. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, "But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Verse 7, "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Now, look at chapter 8 now, in verse 13. And notice there are three things here that we should purpose in the heart. Number one, equally. That one word, equally. Verse 13. "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality." That's equally. The second is bountifully. Now we're back to chapter 9 and verse 6. "But this," Paul says, "but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Look at verse 7. Cheerfully. Look at the key word in verse 7. It's heart. Your heart. Now, the Lord, here's a quote, "The Lord loves a cheerful giver, but he will take it from a grouch." Did you catch that? The Lord loves a cheerful giver, but he will take it from a grouch. Somebody that gives grudgingly, in other words. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 17 says this, "Every man shall give as he is able," as he's able, "according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee." Now here is a note to consider. God is able to provide as we purpose by faith to participate. In verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. What do we do? What's the bottom line? We purpose by faith and we trust God. That's it. We purpose by faith and we trust God. We purpose from the heart, you see. We got saved. Yes, I received Jesus into my heart. And that's a nomenclature that we use. And we are saved when, you know, when we trust the Lord. He comes into our life, into our soul, our heart. But after we're saved, God is able to provide as we, by faith, purpose to participate. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye also, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And here it is again. Purpose by faith and trust God. Here's the conclusion. And as we learn about Christian stewardship, there are three thoughts that we may do. Number one, grow in grace. That's part of spiritual growth. If we're not living in the realm of grace, we're not growing spiritually. Second, be motivated by love. And then third, purpose from our heart. And most of all, may we receive His gift of salvation in the heart, from the heart. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. Okay. And we have got, so we